The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Time again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here are your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Ellis here. Thanks for listening to the Outdoors and Radio Show and standing by me for that first rugged hour. That was rough. Fell asleep last night about, I got one text at 8:29 that I remember. I got one text at 8:35 that I remember. And by 8:43, when the next text came in between 8:35 and 8:43, I was out, gone. Didn't take any text, didn't take any phone calls. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm here now. So let's talk to Francis. Good morning, Francis. How are you?
Fine.
How can we help you this morning?
Well, I acknowledge for the condition for the yellow perch to reduce the amount taken whenever they come to spawn. And nobody should be taking any fish when it comes to spawn, because that's your future generation of fish to multiply and improve the area for the fish to have other fish to survive on.
Yep, sustainability, that's what it's all about.
And there should be no netting during the spawning season.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's taken away this future fish that you would have. And you're taking the menhaden out of the lower Chesapeake Bay is wrong. They should only be taking it for medical reasons and food consumption, not for farm feeding. That's why the Chesapeake Bay has depleted down so bad that it's going to take a few years for it to continue to grow and be prosperous again. They want to blame everybody else, and there's no invasive species in the Chesapeake Bay. Whatever Mother Nature has put there.
Whoa. I'll stop you right there, brother. Have you ever heard of a blue catfish?
Sir, yes, I hear what they say, but there's every fish eats on other caverners. They feed off other fish.
You're proving my point. When there's a billion-pound biomass of blue catfish, that these fish can get to 80 pounds, and they eat anything and everything. They eat blue crabs, they eat white perch, they eat yellow perch, they eat shad, they eat menhaden, they eat ducks, they eat whatever they can get in that big wide mouth of theirs, okay? Though that is the biggest threat to the fish in the Chesapeake Bay, bar none, is the blue catfish.
Well, I emphasize that we should be harvesting them and using them for food consumption.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. Right now, there are fellows on the Susquehanna River who are running lines, long lines, like they run for tuna in the ocean, in the Susquehanna River, catching thousands and thousands of pounds of blue catfish every day. And it doesn't seem to be an ending, that seems to be a never-ending supply. And the market is catching on. So, you know, when you've got a 20-pound blue catfish that can be reduced to, let's say 6 pounds of food, all right, and you've got 10,000 pounds of those, you're feeding people. And when there's that much, the supply has exceeded the demand, which means the price is lower, of this very, very delicious and high nutrition fish, and people are shying away from the other fish, although people still prefer rockfish at $25 a pound as opposed to catfish at $12 a pound. So, you know, it's all in what we've been taught, what we've learned, what we've had through our life, and, you know, people are willing to pay to sustain their lifestyles. Okay, so if, you know, you want to have a group of people over and you want to serve rockfish, or the restaurant is having a demand for rockfish, they're going to serve you rockfish. There's not a lot of, you can't buy a lot of crappy dinners, you know. You can't buy a lot of yellow perch dinners. You can't, when you go to the restaurants, that's for people to go to their fish market and consume. But when you've got a restaurant that's feeding people and they're selling catfish dinners for less than rockfish dinners, and people want to eat fish when they go out, they're going to eat catfish. So, you know, it's supply and demand. That's what I'm trying to say. It's all about supply and demand. And right now, the supply of blue catfish in Chesapeake Bay is far, far, far bigger than anything else out there.
Well, we should have them on the market for.
We do. We have them on the market. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
and like I say, whenever you have other fish in the area to replenish the Chesapeake Bay, everything will be prosperous, and it'll take at least 5 years for an improvement for not taking the spawning fish.
So you're calling for a moratorium, is what you're saying?
Somewhat, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because you have to have the future fish to be there for other fish to survive on.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else feeds them but within themselves. And then no netting in their small rivers, because that's their sanctuary. Whenever they grow to be a certain size, then they'll leave the immediate area and continue on their journey for wherever they go.
Gotcha. Francis, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful weekend, okay?
And also, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission is having their meeting in February.
Right.
I might attend that.
Well, I hope you do. I hope you do. All right, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. And
thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All righty. Take care. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Lee in Towson. Good morning, Lee. How are you? Hello,
good
Lee.
Morning,
hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're good.
But, the commercial harvest of yellow perch is way down because now it's a kill catch. It's basically you have to tag each yellow perch.
Uh-huh.
And the market has literally dropped in half because of that. The live catch was the big thing with yellow perch because they were shipped out west.
Right.
To support fisheries of, they were pond raised and whatnot. But the kill catch, since it's gone to tag, having to tag the yellow perch, has lack of interest within the commercial guys. The guys I know in Havertys Grace don't even really fool with them anymore.
No, I know that. Yeah.
There's no money in it.
Right.
You know, to put it in that term. And they've all gone over to the blue cat.
I don't see yellow perch other than this time of year and the row and that type of thing offered for a very long period of time in the fish market. Like you said, there's a small demand for it in the spring, and then it's nothing, you know, whereas some of these other fish, you know.
You'll see them in Lexington Market and, you know, the Broadway, you know, some of the Baltimore City markets. You know, you're not going to see them in a Wegmans or a grocery store.
No. No.
They're not of high demand, though you and I, we all know how tasty they are.
They're very tasty, no question. Yes,
but, we're hearing, I think it's great, personally, that they cut the harvest in half, because there is a tremendous amount of perch taken. And I'm glad they, I don't know about the 9-inch minimum size. You're not going to get a whole lot of yield out of a 9-inch yellow perch.
I have a friend who'll throw a 9-inch yellow perch back, even though it's legal. And I said, why do you do that?
He
said, go ahead.
Yeah.
Your limit's what?
With us, they got to be in my boat. It's no less than 10 inches.
Yeah, and that's what he said. You go from 9 to 10, and now when you fillet, you got a nice little perch finger.
Correct.
And a 9-inch fish doesn't have the yield that a 10-inch fish does. It's just like a white-tailed deer. Okay, grows a set of antlers at 2.5, and he might be a little 6-point or something like that. But you let that deer go to 3.5, and you're going to see marked improvement. 4.5 even better. And it seems that 5.5 is when they blow up, and that's their full breeding potential. That's their full antler potential. 5.5, 6.5, and the difference. Down at the big box store in Arundel Mills, it used to be a display right back in the hunting department by the arcade. They used to have a display, and I don't know if it's still there or not, of deer antlers taken, shed deer antlers taken from a captive deer. And I've seen these displays before. First year he's a spike. Second year he's a 4-point. Third year he's, he's bigger. Fourth year he's bigger. Fifth year he's even more. And it's amazing the potential as the body weight and the maturity of the deer comes on, the body weight or the antler growth is the same thing. And I'm trying to make a point here between a 9-inch and a 10-inch perch. An 11-inch perch has even more yield. And the ones you catch, you can't even lift in the boat, they have even more yield.
Correct.
Yeah.
Another thing is our yellow perch I'm pretty sure are regulated by in-state. I don't think they're not a migratory. So
no,
these decisions with yellow perch and numbers and whatnot, I think are generated by from what I'm hearing. I don't go to these meetings too often, but down at the Fisheries Advisory Committee,
right?
And in retrospect, from one of the persons I spoke to, he says, so how do things come up that really shouldn't come up? And apparently this yellow perch thing was one of them. And, these decisions are made in these meetings. Now, whether there's a biologist giving data and information on catch reports or electroshocking or blah, 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 is that part of the program? I don't know, but they're, from what I see, social media has blown up the Susquehanna. It's all over the internet, from what I hear. Fortunately, I don't participate in any of that that stuff.
Now, what do you mean blown it up? What are you talking?
Telling, where the fish are, everybody's bragging and showing their fish.
Oh, the yellow perch? Yeah, okay, great.
Oh, yeah. And then you go to some of these other states, and you're seeing people doing catch and release ice fishing with a yellow perch and stuff. So there's that mentality.
Catch and release yellow perch. That's hilarious. Why do you go ice fishing? You go ice fishing to catch yellow perch to eat.
I know, but it's I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'd probably rather not see, but it's
I get it.
Part of the it's this big female yellow perch. Let's let it go. Okay, that's all fine and dandy, and I don't know what their fisheries are like in Wisconsin and Canada and. These other states where they catch these huge yellow perch.
No question.
But we got a very sustainable perch fishery here, as far as I'm concerned. We're talking about the Susquehanna, but the Severn, the Magothie, the Gunpowder, all these Nanticoke.
Southern Maryland?
They're there. All throughout the state of Maryland.
Southern Maryland has...
I'm,
ton of fish. Southern Maryland has a ton of yellow perch.
Well, there you go. So you're speaking for I'm speaking for the Upper Bay and Middle Bay. So there's plenty of perch around. The five fish limit I think is great. And the commercial harvest is down because of lack of interest, and that's why they dropped it. I think that's part of the reason they dropped it 70% because of nobody was buying. You got to buy the tags as a commercial fishery. There's an extra fee. Welcome to Maryland commercial fishing.
Yeah, really.
You have to pay. You have to pay for that privilege to.
Right.
Utilize the commercial fishery. So it's there's a whole lot going on for a great fish and a tasty fish. So
sure.
It's and they're plentiful. Another thing I'll tell is a lot of people have difficulty catching quality yellow perch. I'll move my boat 15, 20, 30 times until I can get on a pod of bigger fish. And that's
right. The
key element with what I enjoy doing is targeting
the big fish,
bigger, yellow perch, white perch, when I play with the pickerel and bass and stuff.
Yeah.
Is, seeking out, that
sweet spot.
That 10-point yellow perch instead of that white perch.
Exactly. I got it. I got you.
In your terms.
Yeah, well.
In Alan's terms.
Well, yeah, I'm restricted. I restricted myself on this property that I hunted yesterday, okay? I had to talk to the landowner, and I said, look, I've taken, your deal was branched antlered stags. And I said, in the past 12 years, I've taken four, okay? I haven't taken a six-point. I haven't killed a six-point sika stag since 1987, which was my very first one, okay, ever. Mm-hmm. First live sika deer I ever saw was a six-point. So I said, I will restrict myself to a mature six-point stag to, go along with your management efforts for the guys that are there, and kill two or three a year because they're at camp on a regular basis. And he appreciated that. And, I said, I only want one hind a year for food. And, and he's good with that. And so I had nine deer on the feeder yesterday.
Wow.
Seven of them were mature. One of them was a beast. I mean, a big, mature female hind. And it's like, I enjoyed watching her come in. She was all by herself. No little one with her or anything else. I watched her come in, and she just walked around, and it was cool just watching that thing. And the whole meantime, wow. I got to take my eye away from the scene in front of me at the feeder and keep an eye on the shooting lanes for a stag to show up, So that was part of the challenge of the hunt. So anyway,
it's all that is just a great eye candy. I mean, one of the, with the fishing the other day, I invited my friend of mine. He's a commercial fisherman, which I helped him utilize a good part of his rockfish quota in the upper, then Susquehanna, as what you participated in.
Yeah.
88 years young, and he had such a great time with us with the yellow perch the other day. And, that's one of his sustainable foods that he loves to have a perch. That was his dealio. It's all about having fun with it and enjoying the pleasures with other people and whatnot. That's a huge huge thing. Like with you and your grandchildren and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
With the deer hunting and whatnot.
It's fun.
I don't see any as a yellow perch out there fishing for them. I don't see a moratorium coming or anything like that.
Right.
We did have a moratorium. I think it was they shut down certain tributaries and rivers.
Yeah, I think that's part of what. Yeah, the Magothy, I believe, was shut down for a while. And
Severn.
Yep.
It was interesting because I remember when they opened it back up, I caught a tagged yellow perch in the Severn.
Wow.
And sent my tag in, and I got my reply with my hat, and said I was the first tagged yellow perch that they had ever received. Now, I wonder if they're doing this type of thing again.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting. You're always the person to find these biologists or within the DNR that can tell us a lot more than what you and I, what I know, you know, what you know on the species. You're my source, the go-to guy to get that first.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll be having some conversations with the DNR folks here shortly, and we'll get a couple of them on the air too. So that's good.
Yeah. I really enjoy that. Okay. Well, Alan, thank you very much for letting me.
No, I'm glad to have you in the audience here, buddy, and I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. So take care, man.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right. There we go. We got to take a break. 410-922-6680. Larry Albright, Albright's Gun Shop, is having a gun sale. But first, let me tell you this. Albright's Gun Shop in Easton not only has one of the largest collections of used guns in the Mid-Atlantic region, they've upped their game with the new products, new hunting products. First Light hunting apparel. This is a big deal. Not a lot of dealers out there. First Light. This is the one you see on Meat Eater TV. The tops and the pants and the hats and all that. Leica scopes and binoculars, Aimpoint aiming systems, and Surefire flashlights. Albright's Gun Shop is having a gun sale, too. Now is the best time to own a Benelli, a Franke, or a Stoeger firearm. Purchase a Benelli and receive a free backpack and a gun case. Now, here's something else. Albright's Gun Shop just received a large collection of Remington firearms, including 20-gauge 1187s, hard-to-find left-hand 1100s, and more classic Remingtons. For those of you looking for that special firearm, Albright's Gun Shop is the only Cesar Guarini elite dealer in Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. This includes Fab Arms and Siren shotguns. With one of the largest collections of used guns in the Mid-Atlantic region, it is worth your while to visit Albright's Gun Shop. Stop by 36 East Dover Street in Easton, across from the Tidewater Inn, kind of catty-cornered, to visit this landmark gun shop. Online, it's albrightsgunshop.com or call 410-820-8811 today for Albright's Gun Shop, celebrating 30 years. Backyard Billy's. Gotta love these folks. They have so much stuff. And when you're looking for things to heat your home or to barbecue or to decorate your lawn, we'll start talking about the lawn stuff here pretty soon when the season gets closer. But right now, I'm asking you a question. In your house, is there a space where there used to be a fireplace? Is there a firebox there and you don't use it anymore? Well, you can fill that with a gas fireplace insert from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's and restore that room, that fireplace, to very, very usable space. No flue, no wood to haul, no ashes to scoop. Just put that Enviro or Regency a gas fireplace insert in there. Sit back with your remote control. You can have fire anytime you want, and you can turn it off anytime you want, that's for sure. So we selected an Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert in Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. They did all the installation from the top to the bottom. They helped us find a mason that did the stonework and everything else. It was just absolutely an amazing experience. Their price is right. Their knowledge is good. Their products are super. And the convenience of the room-filling heat, the convenience of the beauty in the room-filling heat, and the convenience of the remote control is absolutely stunning. Enviro, Regency, other top brands, the freestanding wooden pellet stoves are available too in many different configurations for your, you know, auxiliary heat, your main heat. Maybe you want to heat a garage or a shed or an outbuilding of some kind. Well, take a look at all those wood or pellet freestanding stoves too. BackyardBillies.com, Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. We'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Creative Concepts Taxidermy. With 35 years' experience, John George realistically, accurately, and artistically recreates animals from all over the world. This season, Creative Concepts Taxidermy is offering a terrific service to deer hunters. John is offering to turn around your whitetail or sika deer in 6 months. That's 6 months with your paid deposit. Located at 7194 Montevideo Road in Jessup, Maryland, Creative Concepts is convenient to Route 100, Route 1, and the 95-295 interstates. When you stop by, you'll see the Creative Concepts Studio is filled with life-size game mounts from all over the world. Creative Concepts supports nonprofit conservation organizations and wounded veterans groups. Maryland's premier life-size studio, Creative Concepts, provides five-star service for any animal from any continent, including those right here in Maryland. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. On weekends with an appointment, creativeconceptstaxidermy.com or call 410-799-1558. That's 410-799-1558 for Creative Concepts Taxidermy.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
Calling all outdoor lovers. Don't miss the Explore the Shore Outdoor Expo, Saturday, February 21st from 10 to 4 at the Packing House in Cambridge. Discover amazing local businesses for hunting, fishing, boating, biking, conservation, and more. Enjoy food, prizes, demonstrations, fun for the whole family. Celebrate the outdoors right here on the shore. For all the details, visit Explore the Shore Outdoor Expo, Saturday, February 21st on Facebook, or visit the event page at thepackinghousecambridge.com.
It's time to practice your wing shooting and sight in your firearms. At Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range, you can do both. Located just off Route 50 in Mardella Springs, you'll find a 50-station Sporting Clays range and a firearms range for handguns, rifles, shotguns, and muzzleloaders with distances from 25 to 500 yards. Take Bradley Road to get to Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range. Inside the Delmarva Sporting Clays retail store, You can browse new and used firearms in the gun room or select your favorite ammunition. See the 10-point crossbows and tons of hunting accessories to make your day. Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range will buy or trade your firearm. If you own a collection, they're interested. Stop by Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range in Mardella Springs, open every day except Christmas. The website is dscfff.com. Call 410-742-2023 for an appointment for Sporting Clays. That's 410-742-2023 for Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. Honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out in brown and green. She's the sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand. And even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Yeah. How about that? Speaking of camouflage, I did one of the dumbest things yesterday that I have ever done. And I've done plenty, but this was right up there. Let's see, quarter after six yesterday morning, getting ready to head out to the deer stand, and I got a little bit of a walk. It's probably a grand total of maybe 1,000 yards. I don't know, something like that, half a mile. Back to the stand, and so I'm getting ready, and everything was cool. Last thing I put on was my face mask. So I take my glasses off, put my face mask on, put my orange hat on top of my face mask, and head out. And I get, you know, it's dark, and I've got the flashlight, and I'm wending my way back through the field, you know, back through the trail, and back to the stand, and get back in the stand, and it's getting daylight, and I'm like, what's going on here? What's wrong? Folks, for the first time since I've worn glasses, I forgot to put my glasses back on. Apparently, I was seeing well enough in the dark and just overlooked that and was too excited to get back in the stand and got, because that's one of my favorite things is to sick a deer hunt. So what am I going to do? I can't see. I mean, I'm nearsighted to, I'm horribly nearsighted, astigmatism, the whole deal. But so I had my binoculars. Thank God I had my binoculars around my neck. And first thing that happens, you know, daylight, there's a deer up in a little clear cut. And I'm like, okay, what is that? So I can see the deer, you know, at 200 yards. but I can't see any details. Well, I put the binoculars up, and sure enough, the binoculars are those, I don't know what you want to call them, autofocus or whatever. You don't have to focus them. You don't have to, you know, adjust them to your eyes. They just, I can't remember what they're called. But I could see the deer, and I could follow the deer. Fortunately, the deer came closer, 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 and eventually wound up at about 15 yards. But I saw early on that it was a hind. And then another one came in on the other feeder, and I was able to check that out. So I was able to magnify my vision, and everything was fine, and I was able to, you know, see through the scope, and everything was fine. So at that point, I figured, okay, the feeder went off. We're just here. I'm not getting out of here till, you know, everything calms down. I got to get at least an hour or hour and a half under my belt like this, and then I'll hike back and get my glasses and finish out my morning, which I did, but couldn't believe I left my glasses. I've been wearing them since I'm 9 years old, or like a, you know, like my right hand. All right, let's see here. Yeah, exactly. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'll be glad to talk to you about anything and everything you want to talk about. We talked a little bit about deer hunting, sick of deer hunting. We talked about yellow perch. We didn't talk about striped bass today, but we will if you want. And we didn't talk about waterfowl hunting, which all the duck hunters I talked to are disappointed in the lack of ducks this year, except on the lower part of the eastern shore, where it seems like right now there's a whole bunch of redheads, which in the hot spot down there, Hooper's Island area, Fishing Creek, that seems to be a redhead hot spot. And there's some pintail, and you know, I'm not hearing a lot about you know, a whole bunch of mallards or any of the other kind of ducks. The sea ducks are out there, no question, but divers seem to be off. The canvasbacks, there's a few bluebills, but what's going on with the ducks this year? Any duck hunters out there can contradict what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just not hearing good numbers on ducks. Plenty of geese. Hopefully the recruitment on the geese will come back. We'll have a little longer season, a little bigger bag limit next year, but I can't tell you that for sure till we hear the reports soon, probably this month, about the 2026 season. So we'll get in touch with the wildlife folks on that too. So let's see. Yes. Discussions off the air. So we would appreciate a phone call, though. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I pick up two deer today. I pick up a whitetail and a sick of deer. I already took the cape from the wonderful gift that Robin gave me, that weird-looking buck, to taxidermist. And so he's underway. And what else do we want to talk about? You're kind of directing the direction. You're kind of directing the show here, folks. So this thought just came into my head. We're talking about yellow perch, a little bit about crappie. These kinds of fish are, and, you know, white perch and a couple other things are called panfish. And the reason they're called panfish is because they're very desirable for people to eat. Generally, they're easy to eat, or they're easy to catch, they're easy to eat. I don't know if you ever thought about where that term came from, but that's where it came from. So, what are your thoughts on catching panfish? I started out catching bluegills and long-eared sudfish and you know, rock bass and that kind of stuff. Never kept many rock bass, but I guess they're probably good to eat because they, you know, I never kept them because they were so small. But to get a kid started on perch, and if you're a freshwater fisherman, get them started on bluegills and, you know, rock bass, things like that. I think, is probably the perfect way to get a kid interested in fishing, especially if you get into a bunch of them. You get a few worms or and a bobber and a small hook, and you put your barb down on the hook, and you go out there, and you just sat there and catch fish after fish if you want, and let the kid really have a good time. And you know what? The adults can have a good time, too. You might want to target a little bigger fish, you know, when you're older. But there's nothing like fishing for panfish. And if you want to take a few home to eat, there doesn't seem to be any problem with that. Not a lot of overregulation or anything. I mean, yeah, the yellow perch, I understand the size limit and all that. But bluegills, did you ever get a bunch of bluegills and just fillet them up and cook them? Man, nothing like it. Nothing like it. So what are your thoughts on panfish? 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see. Ed in Queenstown. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I don't have to have the stove on because it's warm out. So
yeah, mine's sitting here vacant as well.
So I don't have to burn pellets. So I did leave it on earlier this week, and I just thought, what the hell? I got the house up to 80 degrees.
Oh, man, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's nice little every once in a while just to have the summertime here.
And get rid of all the dampness in the house, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, I got two quick questions here.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. This friend of mine, he's a fireman. He's a good kid. He really is. He does a lot of big game hunting out west, and he does a lot of fishing, too, back east here where he lives in New York. And I finally found out what he carries as a backup.
Okay.
It's Springfield Armory. It's one of the plastic guns in 45. He buys all the best long guns, whatever the latest and the greatest is, he goes out and spends money on the long guns. But he doesn't have, I don't think he's got a good backup gun.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't go out without anything. So I was wondering, I've come across your periodicals, and I was wondering if those are something that you can get through subscription.
No.
And it could be, no, can't do
no,
it.
No, sorry.
I'll have to get them.
Yeah, just find one in your local area. No, you're not far from a couple places up there. So.
Yeah, so I'll do that. The other thing is the chest holsters or shoulder holsters, are they any good for hunting?
They'll hold your gun.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. But I'm just thinking, you know, everything's...
Well, they will. I mean, what do you want me to say? Leave your hands free.
This early in the morning, I take certain.
Are they any good for hunting? I don't know what you mean.
I just, because if you've been used to wearing them on your belt and you have to get them quick,
yeah,
you're going to go to your belt, I think. You're not going to go remember where they are. So I got mixed feelings on that.
Well, in general, you're not going to use your concealed carry gun for hunting. You're going to go with something a little bigger,
right?
In a handgun, whether it's a Thompson Center with the interchangeable barrels, whether it's a 44 Magnum, or whether it's a whatever it is, you're going to want a little something more accessible, and a chest holster is not a bad idea. I carry a Scout muzzleloader pistol with a red dot on it during muzzleloader season as my quote-unquote backup. Haven't ever needed it as a backup, but I think it would be fun in the right situation to be able to take a deer with that handgun. And I have seen guys that have done it. We had one fellow in Montgomery County that killed three deer in the various season, the early muzzle loader, the firearm season, and then I don't know if it was firearms or late muzzle loader, but whatever it was, he had three bucks in 1 year all killed with that Scout 50 caliber muzzle loader pistol. And he had the bonus tag and all that, but really nice bucks. and he was I guess trying to accomplish something, and he did. So, but you know, it's an accurate firearm. I like it, and it looked at one of those chest holsters at one time, but I've just decided not to. It's got a carry strap on it, and I just decided to leave it in the case in case I don't ever anticipate having to have quick access to it. It's just not okay. That gun. Okay. So.
Because he hunts elk out in Colorado, and I just noticed some lady hiker was out there a couple weeks ago and
yeah, killed by a mountain lion.
Being food for a mountain lion. Yeah.
Well, some of these Western states, depending on their administration, have come up with some really weird ideas about wildlife and top tier predators. You know, like we have to protect them like there's none left. You know, and it's insane, and they put their citizens in danger. They really do. Mountain lions are particularly bad. And not that there's that many violent attacks or, you know, but the bears have gotten out of hand. Maybe that's not the right word. People are stupid in wild life country. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
And it's not that the bears have changed their behavior, but the people have. I mean, you see these videos of these idiots in our state, our national parks out there, you know, wanting to go up and you know, take a selfie with a grizzly bear, a wild grizzly bear, or a bison, or an elk, or something like that. I saw a video of a guy. There was a black bear loose in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is not unusual. You know, there's bears all over Gatlinburg, but this one happened to be on the street, and a guy, a full-size black bear, and the guy walked up and smacked it on the butt with his hand.
Yeah.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, you can't fix stupid.
No, you can't. Well, the bear almost fixed stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that bear whipped around and bared its fangs, and, you know, the guy's like, oh, you know, like, just leave alone.
Well, we were at Lake Itasca State Park in Minnesota up a ways.
Yeah.
And they had bison in a big, I can't remember how tall the fence was, but they were in a fenced area.
Yeah. Yeah,
and a lady goes over with her little yappy dog, and the bull decides he's going through the fence.
Yeah,
and my mom had to tell the lady, "Get your little dog out of here."
Absolutely. Oh man.
You know, anyway, crazy. But you just can't fix stupid.
Nope. All right, buddy. Hey, thanks for the call.
Take care.
Hey,
happy New Year.
Thank you. Convince your guy to get a little better gun.
I will do that. Yeah. Take care.
See you, man. Bye bye. Hey, Ed was just talking about his fireplace insert. He's got the same model I have, the EX-35 made by Enviro. And, you know, got it the same place, but I think his is 30-some years old, if I remember right. And, excuse me. And it's working just fine. You know, you get service every couple of years. They come out. They take everything out. Take everything out of the box. They clean everything. This is my buddy Brian. He comes and does this. They replace anything that needs to be replaced. And, you know, for what they charge, it's extremely reasonable to make sure you have good heat in your house. So I just decided to crank the thing up a little bit. I sat here in my chair while I was talking to Ed, adjusted my temperature, hit the button, and now I have fire. You can have the same convenience, too. All you got to do is visit Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Discover which model's best for you, whether it's an Enviro or whether it's a Regency or another top brand of MyFire, whatever, of fireplace inserts, whether, you know, it's gas or pellet or wood works best for you. Maybe even if you're in a development of some kind and they restrict you from having those kind of things, you could get an electric fireplace insert. That's even cool, too. So you can check it all out. Freestanding wooden pellet stoves at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Why not stop by? They're on Drummer Drive right there off of Route 50, exit 44B if you're coming from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. If you just want to go up Route 18 and get on Evans Avenue from there and then turn on to Drummer Drive, you'll find Backyard Billy's. You've seen it 1,000 times if you've driven up and down Route 50. You see all those chairs and sheds and all that in Backyard Billy's backyard, which is actually the frontage of the of Route 50. So just got to get off and get there. And Backyardbillies.com is the website. Hearth America has a Facebook page. Give them a call, 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week. The Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billies is the fireplace. Let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Baltimore, 21227. I'm going to take a little bit extra time here because I want to give them their money's worth for their commercials today. I'm going to talk about Browning Firearms. Now, of course, fishing season's coming in, and they've got all the terminal tackle and the bait and the minnows and everything you need for fishing. Beautiful rods and reels, some St. Croix rods, which are fantastic, the Shakespeare stuff, the ugly sticks. But I want to tell you, because it's hunting season, about the new A5 Hunter 20-gauge. Yep, an A5 auto loader. It's gloss black anodized receiver finish, a gloss finish Turkish walnut stock with a vertical grip, 18 lines per inch, checkering three choke tubes. It's got a fiber optic front sight and an ivory mid bead. It's ideal for upland, waterfowl, and sporting clays, too. It's a 20-gauge A5. Now, the A5 all comes with the kinematic drive recoil operation, much like the A5 12-gauge Wicked Wing in vintage camo. You remember the old vintage camo, you know, back in the day. The duck hunters all wore that blotchy camo. Well, that's what the shotgun is equipped with, is a stock and a forearm that are in that vintage camo. It's got a composite stock, a Cerakote burnt bronze camo finish on the receiver and the barrel. Cerakote now. That's good stuff. And it's got an oversized bolt release and extended vector DS goose band choke tubes, which are the kind that extend out the end, easy to change, and corrosion-resistant chrome bore. It's got an ABS with it. And there's our music. All right. Talk too long. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, your full-line Browning dealer, 410-242-6108. ClydeSportsShop.com is the website for firearms, licenses, ammunition, scope mounting, and accessories. It's Clyde Sports Shop. They're open 7 days a week. Stop by. You'll be glad you did. All right. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe. Remember, folks, four things. Your faith, your family, your friends, and your freedom. Love your family. Love the Lord. We'll see you next week. I'll be a little more organized. Take care.